As a Christian, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to become rooted and grounded in our faith.
Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for him.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society, but as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong.
Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Rooted Heritage.
"And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness." Now listen, folks, they had the blessings of the Jordan River, they had the blessings of the fertile plains surrounding Jerusalem. God had blessed them. But now they were turning from the Lord, and so he said, what's going to happen to you, you're going to be like the heath in the desert. And the word heath is referring to a strip of desert land, totally barren, parched land that no one would ever go to, where there's no sustenance, there's no fruit, there's no water. He said, you've been blessed, you've had a fertile land, but you're about ready to become like the heath, like the area that nobody would ever want, the land that nobody would buy, the land they just give away because they don't want to pay taxes on it. It's worthless, it's nothing. The problem that Judah had, they turned away from God. The pronouncement that God made, you are cursed with a curse because you have turned away from me. I don't know about you, I do not want to see America under such a curse, but I say to you today, we cannot legislate immorality. We cannot legislate ungodliness. We cannot speak against God and his Bible and then sing God bless America and expect God to bless America. I want you to see finally this morning the promise of God. I said earlier, I'm thankful that God is merciful and he is long-suffering. Even at this moment, there may be, there could be, if we would get right with God, if we would confess our sin, if Christians would pray, if Christians would stand, somehow there could be, even now, a turning back to the Lord in America, and that is our prayer. And so notice what God promises in verse 7. He says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." You see, God said, if you're trusting in man, there's no promise there. There's no blessing there. But if you're trusting in the Lord, he gives us, first of all, a promised blessing. And we need to learn to trust the Lord. Psalm 2 and verse 12 has sort of an interesting verse, and it sounds a little different at first, but Psalm 2, 12 says, "Kiss the Son," capital S, "kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." The word son refers to Jesus. The word kiss refers to an attitude of worship. And God is calling us to worship him, to adore the son. Hey, we're going around kissing all the other religions, if you will. We're kissing up to all of this wicked crowd. We're afraid of 2 or 3% of the population. We're kissing up to the ungodly governments around the world. Hey, somebody needs to get back to kissing the Lord and worshiping the Lord and remembering the God who blessed America in the first place, you see. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still given to us. It's still a part of the promise. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I want you to look at that verse in your notes, because it says, "If my people." You know, it's one thing to preach against Washington or Sacramento. It's one thing to do that. But God says, hey, revival is not going to come from the State House or the White House. He said, I want my people to humble themselves. I want my people to confess their sin. And listen, if we're sitting here this morning and we ourselves are filling our hearts and minds with wickedness and ungodliness and bitterness and lust and unfaithfulness to our spouses and not keeping our word to one another. Listen, we have no reason. We are just as guilty as the politician who uses God's name only for the campaign. If we are sitting here this morning with sin in our own lives, and we may need to confess to God our sin this morning, if we ever expect to have revival come to our land. But God says, when you do confess, then will I hear from heaven. How many of you think we need God to hear from heaven and heal our land? God says, when you're right, then I'll hear from heaven. During the Civil War, someone went to President Lincoln. They said, do you think God is on our side? And listen very carefully to what he said. He said, my concern is not that God is on our side, but that we are on his side. My concern is not that God is on our side, but that we are on his side. My friend tonight, this morning, my concern is not that God is on our side. God has proven his love for us. God wants to bless us. The fact is, our concern is, are we on his side? Are we honoring him? Are we remembering him today? And we've got men today in Washington, D.C., who are dishonoring God and who are blaspheming his name and taking immoral pictures of themselves and walking into Congress with their little hoodies and their little attitudes. And we need to get back to the place where we say, listen, we're going to honor God, not self. We're going to honor God and his word above all else. It's time to get back to honoring the Lord in America once again. Psalm 40 and verse 4 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Listen to me this morning. We think about this country and we try to vote. We try to vote for people that are conservative and close enough to biblical principles, and sometimes maybe there's someone that's saved. And sometimes the choices aren't very good. You got a couple people you're looking at, and neither one are really really dedicated to the things of the Lord, but you do your best. But let me tell you something. Our trust should never be in men. It should always be in the Lord. Look what it says, Psalm 44. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. God says, I'll bless you if you trust me. Don't trust in this party or that party or this movement or this attorney or this speaker. Put your trust in the Lord. It's a promised blessing if we trust the Lord. Secondly, it's a promised fruit. It's a promised fruit. Look at verse number 8. For he shall be, this person that trusts in the Lord, this nation that trusts in the Lord, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God says, if you turn to me, I'm going to bless you with fruit. I'm going to bless you once again. There's going to be a provision for you that God's going to make. Look at verse 8 there. He says, I'll provide for your growth. You'll be like a tree planted by the waters. Hey, you know the San Joaquin Valley produces a quarter of America's produce. You know, our fruitful plains are so blessed, but you know where that blessing comes from? It comes from God. God says, I'm the one that puts that food on your table. He said, I'll give you provision in trial. When the drought cometh and the difficulties come, I'll provide for you. I'll provide fruit in your season. I'll help you along the way. If you'll just let me, if you'll just turn to me, God says, if you'll stop following all these other things, if you'll turn to me, I will bless you once again. And you know, Jeremiah, he had a lonely job. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, listen, people hated the guy. They thought he was annoying. He was always telling them, turn back to God, turn back to God. Jeremiah was telling them, you're going to be cursed, you're going to be cursed. Stop your sin, stop your sin. Jeremiah was not probably liked in his day very much. But Jeremiah was telling them exactly what they needed to hear. Maybe you saw the special, The Man Who Predicted 911. His name is Rick Rascorla. Rick was a 62-year-old executive of security for Morgan Stanley Bank. And Rick, after the first attempt to bomb the trade towers, got really burdened about a repeat attack. And he had this idea that another attack may come in the form of airplanes into these towers. It was just something he thought about. He created escape plans to try to help the Morgan Stanley thousands of workers in those trade towers get out. If they were ever attacked in that way. He would talk about it in business meetings and safety meetings, and people kind of thought he was a little nutty. And he would bring it up and tell them, look, if we're ever hit that way, we need to vacate quickly out of these towers this way. And he was giving them his strategic plans. Well, on September 11, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 hit Tower 1 at 8:46, and there were many people at first who were just saying, stay calm, stay put. You know, no one really knew exactly what was happening in this. Rick Rascorla, he began to urge people to ignore some of the advice from those building officials, and he began to process an orderly evacuation from the Trade Tower, Tower 2. He helped more than 2,800 employees come out of that tower. He stood there with a bullhorn as they were following the line and as they were coming out of the areas that he had instructed in previous meetings, and he was saying, "Be proud to be an American. Everyone will be talking about you tomorrow. Be proud. Hurry this way, hurry this way." He even was singing songs like "God Bless America," trying to calm their fears as they came down those stairs. Rascorla had most of Morgan Stanley's 2,800 employees, as well as other people working in the tower, safely out of the buildings by the time the second plane hit at 9:07. After having reached safety himself, Rascorla then went back up into one of the towers. He was last seen on the 10th floor. His remains were never found. And if you watch this special, it was amazing to see the foresight and the concern that he had before 911. But then they began to tell the stories, the people themselves, the survivors themselves, the bank employees. They began to acknowledge Rick Rascorla for saving their lives. And many of them said how guilty they felt and how apologetic they were because they thought Rick was a fool. They thought the guy was nutty. He always was talking about the what ifs and the how to get out and what if the planes came. And they believed it would never happen. And now they were saying he was their hero. And yet they were so remorseful that they hadn't listened to him more and hadn't appreciated him more. And I want you to understand this morning that Jeremiah was seemingly a little nutty to the people, and Rick Rascorla was seemingly a little nutty to the people. And the fact of the matter was, however, they were simply warning, they were simply helping people so that they wouldn't be caught up in the inferno, so they wouldn't die in a fiery furnace. And I want you to realize today that Jeremiah gave a warning, and I'm giving a warning today from the Word of God. And the warning today is that we must turn to the Lord and we must seek His face. And I want you that do not know Christ today, and you're not sure that heaven is your home, to understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And sometimes this world thinks that preachers and the Bible and Christians are just a little nutty, just like they thought Rick was a little nutty. But I'm going to tell you what, my friend, there is a place burning. It is a place called hell, and God doesn't want you to go there. And that's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sin. And I want to tell you this morning, He doesn't want you to perish, but you've got to turn to His Son Jesus Christ, and He'll forgive your sin, and He'll give you a home in heaven. If you're living in sin as a Christian today, repent of that and turn back to God. And then may all of us realize today that America needs some Rick Rascorlas standing around with God's word, carrying gospel tracts, talking to our friends, not being closet Christians, not being ashamed of Jesus, not acting like all religions are the same. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." Stop worrying about what somebody thinks about you. Rick Rascorla didn't care what they thought. He simply cared that they could get to safety. May God help us to love people that much, to get them to the safety of the cross of Jesus Christ. And as you stand up in this community, and as you live for Jesus tomorrow and the next day and the next day, if someone thinks you're a little nutty, and they've thought that of me more than once, let me just tell you, my friend, you stay on text. You stay with the Word of God. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Duty demands it. God has called us. Let us do what God has called us to do.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.